or have his mace on him. His Mace Windu. Sorry, should have done that. That was a bad joke. I wasn't trying. Sorry, I it came out. Sorry, I apologize. So, yeah.
In this episode, Padme flies a ship, Ahsoka tries a drip, and Bail Organa lets it rip. We'll discuss two short shorts, Clone Wars episodes 311 and Pursuit of Peace in this edition of the 11 Parsecs podcast.
Hello, and welcome to podcast number 43 of the 11 Parsecs podcast. My name is Eric. I'm here with my co-host, John.
Hello.
And that was a very emphatic hello. That was a very, like a multi-step hello. It was like a hello, you're excited.
Well, I'm very excited.
I can tell. That's exactly what it is. This is episode 43 of this podcast. If you don't know about this podcast, we're working our way through all of the Disney canon Star Wars. And right now we are at about 22 ABY, and tonight we're going to be reviewing Forces of Destiny's Season 1, Episode 12 and Episode 4, and The Clone Wars, Season 3, Episode 11. Again, if you don't know, we're going in chronological order by ABY, so here we are in the middle of Clone Wars still, and also starting to dabble in the Forces of Destiny. John, how you doing?
We've already covered that. I'm very excited.
Oh, well, I specifically said your hello was emphatic. I didn't mean that.
Yes.
I was asking about how is your soul, John? How are you? Do you have anything you want to talk about tonight?
That's frankly none of your business.
Okay, fair enough. All right, so
is this a podcast? Or
let's just be real, man. Not talk about issues and drink some beer, shall we?
Now we're talking. Yeah.
All right. What are you drinking tonight?
Tonight I'm having Terrapin Morning Haze Imperial. Do you know this beer?
I know of this beer. I have not had this beer.
It is, again, as I had before, it is another stovepipe. So it's a super tall beer. 19.2 fluid ounces.
And if you guys are wondering what stovepipe looks like, check out the photo on our last podcast. You'll be able to see John did a little beer comparison picture. And stovepipes are big. They're not small. That is not a tiny beer.
They're tall. But they're like two beer cans stacked on top of each other.
But they're not like, and I couldn't tell from the picture, but I think it looked like they were like not the Michelob Ultra thin beer cans. They were a little bit thicker than that.
A beer can. A beer can, but stretched tall. They're, you know, not like a, you know, the Crowlers, the big cans.
Yeah,
big cans.
The big ones. Yeah.
Those are big guys. These are just super tall.
I am also drinking a Terrapin tonight, but I'm not drinking anything fancy because I meant to go to our neighborhood package store, and I did not today. But I am drinking a Terrapin Hops Keister IPA. It will not be dripping. It will be being poured into my mouth tonight because I'm looking forward to this beer. Are you ready, John?
I am ready.
3, 2, 1. Oh, yeah, there we go.
Pouring. Yeah, it's got to settle.
Imperial Hazy, that's got to be insane to try to
it
pour into a glass.
It is very aromatic. Very aromatic.
I just been trying to pour it into a glass because that thing's got to have sat for I don't know how long being an Imperial. And then when you have a Hazy, you've also got, you know, added hops, really. I mean, it's kind of like sitting in the beer itself.
It's actually not very hazy. I've had this before. This is not the first time I've had this beer. This is an amazing beer.
Did you get that at our local establishment?
I got this at a local grocery store.
Even easier.
The Kroger chain of grocery stores has decided for some reason to start bringing in these stovepipe cans of a fairly decent selection.
Do you have to buy one at a time at this K. Roger?
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh yeah, they're singles.
Okay, yeah. So they're all singles. That's good though.
But it's what, like $2 for what is almost 2 cans of beer? It's 20 ounces.
Yeah, it's not bad at all, and it's good beer too. It's not like it's like,
and it's high. It's cheapo. It's high end. It's yeah. They're usually they're not regular. They're going to be more on the higher gravity.
All right, John. So let's start talking some Star Wars here. What do you want to start with? Do you want to start with Forces of Destiny, or do you want to start with the Clone Wars episodes this week?
Let's do the Forces of Destiny to get them out of the way.
I was about to say the same thing. Okay, so let's start out with, and I've got them in backwards order here, but I'm going to start with Forces of Destiny Season 1, Episode 12. Well, I shouldn't say they're out of order, because I think this was actually the way that they were chronologically. But Forces of Destiny Season 1, Episode 12, The Starfighter Stunt. This guy came out on October 1st, 2017. In my notes, I have one simple thing. And it says, these things are so vapid.
Yes, embrace that. That is, you know what I have in my notes?
What?
Thanks. I hate it.
Yeah, it was a very, I was like, no, all right. So it was for those that know, Forces of Destiny, I think it was like supposed to be like an internet show that they put out. And it was supposed to like, I don't know. They're not bad per se. It's just not my thing. That being said, though, it's like a 5-minute cartoon that doesn't move any of the major plot line anywhere. It's just like these little side pieces that are like, you know, just kind of neat to see. This episode had Padme and Ahsoka flying in starships, and Ahsoka was trying to teach Padme how to fly. And of course, they get attacked by this really kind of, I will say it was kind of an interesting looking flight droid or starship droid. It was like attached to a rock and had this big suction cup thing, and then it chases after him. But the episodes, they try, but they're just not. There's no content to them. I mean, it's just kind of like
it's cotton candy is what it is.
Cotton candy. Great. Yeah, cotton candy. Yeah, great description. Just kind of like there. I think I like the next one a little bit better. This one just didn't. I don't know. It didn't really do anything for me. I mean, did you get anything from this show, this 5-minute part?
Did I get anything other than a deepening hatred of this
series?
I hated every aspect of this. The animation style, the minimal storyline that it had, the dialogue, the impossible physics behind all of this. I hated every bit of it.
Oh, you didn't
I'm not the market for this.
You didn't like that they dove into the ice? I don't even know if it was ice. I don't even know what this was that they like dive into and then come back up and like I don't know. This was not my cup of tea on this episode, but let's move on to the next episode, because I actually do have a little bit of positivity there. That's the Forces of Destiny Season 1, Episode 4, The Padawan Path. The only thing that I have in my notes is that I thought it was neat that Yoda and Anakin are waiting for Ahsoka to show up, and she chooses to do this really good deed versus get to her ceremony thing. I can respect that, blah, blah, blah. The one thing that I have in my notes, though, about this episode is that I did not know that they actually attached things to their little Padawan braids that meant that they had rank. Did you know that?
I don't think I knew that, no.
Yeah, I mean, but that's not really all that. I mean, maybe that's been known for a while through other means. I don't know.
I feel like that's been known. Like, that's something that if we were truly hardcore Star Wars fans, we would know that.
Yeah, maybe so. I mean, basically, so I guess Yoda presents her with her next level in the steps of a Padawan, you know, becoming a full knight or what have you. And it's this little, like, charm thing that she attaches to her braid and her Padawan braid. I don't know. I mean, again, it wasn't a great episode. It was just kind of like a filler kind of thing. Nothing new. I don't know, man. These Forces of Destiny episodes are just kind of wearing on me a little bit. I mean, like, Clone Wars, like... Yeah. Clone Wars, I enjoy. Like, I don't get me wrong, not every one of them is like this amazing, amazing episode, but like they're full of story. Like each one's this cohesive story that you get to see in 20 to 30 minutes that has characters that you know or you don't know, but they introduce them well. They have the time to do it. These Forces of Destiny things, and I think, again, they were supposed to be like webisodes. We talked about this in the last podcast, I think. Webisodes. They're supposed to be these little, like, blurbs that just kind of give you a little bit to keep you hanging on to Star Wars, you know, while something new's coming out or what have you. But I don't know, man. I think what we may do is just do one episode where we watch the rest of them and just plow through them. No, we have to. You know the mission of this podcast. We have to watch every piece of canon. We have to read every piece of canon. We have to listen to every piece of canon. We have to get through them. It's just that, like, at least with Clone Wars, I knew there was going to be a doldrum because there's so many episodes of them, and they all happen in such a compact part of the timeline. But man, I don't know.
These make me really long for Clone Wars.
Yeah, agreed. And Clone Wars isn't bad. It's just that it's a very
It took me a little bit to begin to appreciate Clone Wars.
It did. I agree with that. That's a great way to look at it. Like the first couple of seasons, I was like, okay, this is good, but it's not like something I'd probably sit down and watch all of. But here lately, I think in season 3 and season 2, it's been getting pretty good, I think, or better than I suspected that it would. Let's talk about the let's move on to Clone Wars. We're done with the Forces of Destiny. Clone Wars, episode 11, season 3, The Pursuit of Peace, which was a follow-up to the Mina Bentari episode that we talked about on the last podcast, where it had to do with the Banking Clan. And if I remember right, we both kind of enjoyed that episode because it had a little bit more to do with the political intrigue versus the actual fighting. I mean, are you in agreement with that?
Yeah, yeah. Whenever you flesh out your villains and give them motivation, give them, make them more than just two-dimensional cutouts, that's good. And that's what that episode did.
So this episode has, it's Padme and what's the Rhodesian that's always, Anaconda Farr, who's like, he's like a, I don't want to say a helper, he's still a senator, but he's on their side with her and Bail Organa. And,
he comes across like a sidekick, but he is a senator.
Yeah, he is. Yeah, and that's what's kind of impressive. And I can't tell from this episode whether I believe Bail Organa is still a senator at this point, but he doesn't want to take a speech that she initially wants him to do. And I couldn't tell if that's because he's not a senator anymore, he's just a respected person that was a senator, or if he just doesn't want to take the speech. Like, he doesn't want to stick his neck out at that point. But then later on in the episode, you learn that both, really all three of them, get kind of roughed up by, the two bounty hunters that we saw, I want to say four podcasts ago, where they attacked the actual Senate building. Remember the Mucky Muck guy? I have his name written down. Robo Nino, the fish boy?
Fish boy, yeah.
And then there was a newer guy, Chata Hayaki, who's like this, like, I don't think we've seen him before. He's like got this like big like pelican nose head thing, and both of them actually kick Bail Organa, Padme, and the Rhodesians butt a little bit.
It's so weird because I felt no threat from them whatsoever. It's like they come across as a joke. They're bumbling kind of not assassin bounty hunter kind of people or things, and when they kept winning and kept beating people, it was always surprising.
It's like, Padme, what are you doing walking back to your speeder at midnight in some district? I'm like, come on, you're setting yourself up for this, Padme. Well, you know what's going to go down. You know what's going to go down. And then
the plot's going to go down.
Yeah, and then the Rhodesian gets his butt kicked early. And then Bail Organa, though, he has a little bit of a spiff with these guys. Like, he's walking out through the parking lot, and they attack, and he wasn't holding his keys, you know, like, through his fist, like he should have, you know, so he could really be, you know. But he, or have his mace on him, his Mace Windu, sorry. I should have done that. That was a bad joke. I wasn't trying. Sorry. It came out. Sorry. I apologize. So, but he, that is pretty bad. But he gets attacked, and there's a little bit of a gunfight with the cops and everything, and, The other guys, I mean, it's a pretty decent fight, and he gets injured in the end, and she has to make the speech, and of course she makes the perfect speech,
speech that would convince no one if they weren't already on your side.
Yeah, and I have to admit, whenever she's with her handmaiden or her assistant or whoever the girl is that she bases the speech on, there's this one moment where they're sitting out on the balcony. And she turns to her and says, tell me about your family. And I'm like, this is the fakest thing ever. Like, if I would be, like, offended if I was, like, this girl being like, oh, so now you want to talk about my family? Like, now you want to learn all about my family and all the people that are, you know, getting hurt while you're up here, you know, gavotting around the city and going to parties and all this other stuff. And I'm like, now when it's to your advantage to learn about my family and the lowly people you want to talk about? I don't know. I felt it was very insincere. And the girl probably felt like she was forced to talk about it and become the main subject of the speech.
Well, now, you did kind of jump over a major development.
Which was?
Right towards the beginning of the episode. Mina! She's gone.
I did. I actually had that in my notes, and I did totally skip over that. So Mina...
And they just like, throw it out there, like, yeah, she's dead.
And Padme doesn't have time to, like feel any type of remorse or anything for this lady.
Yes.
This is her friend that she literally bet that she was going to be able to get, you know, sneak into.
We just spent a whole episode on her.
Yeah.
And then it's a one line, she's dead now. I mean,
And also,
go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say, also, too, they never really, like, they kind of all suspect that Dooku did it, but nobody says that Dooku outright did it.
Well, certain people suspect Dooku did it, but the proper people are outraged. The other senators are outraged. I'm sorry. I have that backwards. Dooku uses it to say, I'm breaking off all the peace talks because you killed our what was she again?
She was a senator. She was a senator for the opposite side.
Okay. So anyway, yes, it outraged all the right people. And of course, because Dooku says I'm breaking off the peace talks, then the senators of the Republic say, well, now we can't show weakness. We have to have 5 million more troops and get the big loan from the banking clan.
At 25%.
Yeah.
I love the banking clan in this because it really shows like a third party that I don't think at this point, and this is just my opinion, I don't know anything further, I don't think that they're being honestly controlled by Palpatine. I think he's just using their greed.
They control themselves.
Right, yes, yeah. It's not anything evil. It's just that they are the banking clan, and this is the way that they work. And then
that makes them easy. Their motivations are pure, if you will.
Agreed.
And that makes them easy for someone like Palpatine to just use them like marionettes.
Also, too, I don't think he's pulling any strings either with the cloners. I mean, they want the business. You know what I mean? They're like, let's open this paycheck up, or the checkbook up. Let's go. You know, we can get you 5 billion more clones. We're good with that. We're fine with that. It's a good episode. I think it's a well-written episode in that there's not a black and white. There's very much these people on the gray, and you can see how the gray is really, really, really hurting. I'm going to call the people in the white, the good people, the Republic. So it's very, and then you got this guy pulling the strings over the top of everybody. It was a good episode. I really enjoy these, and I don't know actually, and we'll have to look on what we're going to be watching next week, but I don't know if there's a third episode. I think that these two are just the two because it kind of felt like it came to a fruition toward the end there.
Oh yeah. Yeah. It felt like conclusion. Yes.
But, I thought it was pretty good. I thought it was a pretty good episode. I'd rank this one higher than I'd probably rank. I think we both enjoy the last one. And I think both this 11 and 12 have been, or sorry, 10 and 11 have been pretty good. I mean, I think these have been pretty stalwart episodes that we've watched in a while, in my opinion, especially the non-fighting stuff. I mean, we both enjoy the political intrigue, which we've discussed before. What you're in the same opinion? I mean, if you had to give this a 1 through 100, what would you give it? Yep, you knew it was coming.
1 through 100. You know, so many of them are going to end up in the low 80s, and this one is maybe high 70s.
Oh, okay.
It's okay. It's okay. It's all okay. Right. The sort of paper thin resolution at the end about she gave a great speech, which isn't a great speech, knocks it down a little bit. And I don't know what else you can do. I have sympathy for writers that get themselves in that kind of situation.
Yeah.
You know, where someone has to give the speech of their life.
Yeah,
it's not a very good speech.
Yeah, no, I completely agree.
There is no speech that will talk these factions that we just discussed out of their interest, out of their motivations. They have reasons for what they're doing, and you can't just say, hey, you know what? Don't be like that. Oh, okay. I won't be like that. Unless you're doing the Jedi... These are not the droids you're looking for to the entire galaxy. It's just not possible.
I think the amazing thing about this episode was that it all focused down on her speech, but I think the best line in the entire episode was the one, and I wish I'd written it down, and I didn't write it down. I'm going to paraphrase completely here. But Palpatine is talking to Massimeda, who's vice president or sidekick in the Senate, who I'm assuming at this point knows who Palpatine is. He's the little blue guy that's got the big horns that's always standing next to Palpatine on the dais.
Yeah.
And he's looking at him, and he says, it's amazing that with as much power as somebody as I – and I'm paraphrasing – it's amazing with as much power as somebody like me has, it's still the voice of – the true voice of one person can beat that. And I don't think he's being like – mean or angry. I think he's just being like, I didn't expect this, but I got to deal with it, so I'm going to deal with it the way I want to deal with it. But it's like a little bit of a I don't want to say a sign of weakness, but maybe just like a little nod to her being like, okay, good play.
Yeah. That makes me think of that line from Star Trek.
Which is?
And again, I'm going to paraphrase it, but I can hear Shatner in my head. one man with a vision behind every revolution or something like
that. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that's it. That's exactly it. That may be what he said. I don't remember exactly. I just remember being like, that's a great quote. And then I didn't write it down. But
I'll remember that, surely.
Yeah, definitely. Whenever we get on the mic, I'll be fine. So I don't know. It was good. It was good to me. I'd rate it a little bit higher. I think I'd probably put it at like an 81 or an 82. And that's going with maybe an 80 as the base average. I mean, it was better than average. Not amazing, but better than average. I would say
right around average. Yeah.
I enjoyed seeing some of the newer characters, and they didn't just like kind of hover over the characters. They actually like went in, like Mina Batari. Like they actually started talking about her background, how Padme knows her. And I know she gets wiped off the map in the second episode.
And now she's dead. And now she's kind of dress she's buried in.
Now she's dead, but whatever. Yeah. I don't know. Her kids are going to have some stuff, I think, coming up, if I remember right. So there's some stuff that was needed to lay the groundwork for that with her. But yeah, I thought it was good. It was decent. One of the better episodes we've watched. All right, so now we're getting into the geekery. This is the part of the podcast where we don't necessarily talk about Star Wars. We will talk about Star Wars though, because it's, you know, very geeky. But we also like to talk about the stuff we've been watching, playing, and all that kind of good stuff. And John, I have a slight game for you I want to play today. Today, Netflix released, let me see if I can bring this up real quick, the What We Watched engagement report. Did you hear about this?
No, not at all.
Yeah, it literally just came out like a couple hours ago. This is 12:12, in case anybody's listening to the recording. So it is... what they're doing is that twice a year from here on out, what they're going to do is they're going to, in December, go back and say, what was everybody watching from January to June? And they're very detailed with their data. I was combing the data earlier tonight. It's really impressive. Basically, they give the title of the show, whether it's available globally, the release date for the show, and then the number of hours viewed on Netflix. Okay. So this is total hours viewed of this particular, whether it's a movie, it's going to be the movie itself. If it's a show, it's going to be the season of that show.
Okay.
So I started looking at this data, and I was like, kind of not amazed by it, but I was kind of impressed by it. So I'm going to go through and give. And me and you watch a lot of TV. We really do. I mean, we consume a lot of shows. We talk about the shows on the podcast here during the kind of the back half of the podcast, the geekery part of it. And I'm going to bring up. I'm going to name to you the top 25 shows globally of hours viewed on Netflix, and I want you to tell me if you've watched it or you haven't watched it.
Okay.
All right.
I'm game.
Okay. All right. This is going to be good. All right. I'm starting with number one. This was the most popular title on Netflix from January of 2023 to June of 2023. And they do this with a 6-month lag, of course, for their business reasons. They don't want people to know what's super hot, you know, immediately.
So let's do this lightning round. So you read them as fast as you can, and I'll say yes or no.
Okay. Are you ready?
Yes.
And I'm going to go in order, starting with number one, all the way down to number 25. The Night Agent, season one.
No. No.
Ginny in Georgia, season two.
No.
The Glory, season one.
No.
Wednesday, season one.
No.
Queen Charlotte, A Bridgerton Story.
No.
You, season four.
No.
La Reina del Sur, season three.
No.
Outer Banks, season three.
No.
Ginny and George, season one.
No.
FUBAR, season one.
No.
Manifest, season four.
Nope.
Kaleidoscope. It's a limited series, so it's only one season. Firefly Lane, season two.
No.
The Mother.
No.
Movie. Physical 100, season one.
No.
Crash Course in Romance, limited series, season one.
Not as such.
Love is Blind, season four.
Not so much.
Beef, season one.
Nope.
The Diplomat, season one.
Nope.
Luther, The Fallen Son, movie.
Absolutely not.
Fake Profile, season one.
No idea what that is.
Vikings, Valhalla, season two.
Nope.
Extraction 2.
Yes! Yes, I did watch that!
Exo Kitty, season one.
Nah, I don't know what that is.
Dr. Cha, limited series, season one.
No idea. Nope.
Shadow and Bones, season two.
Heard good things, but never watched.
Okay, so you got one out of 25. I was impressed. I had none out of 25. My wife watches a lot of TV, too. She likes Netflix, and her and my daughter watch shows together and all that kind of stuff. My daughter's a teenager, so you know it all kind of. They watch a whole multitude of stuff. She had 9 out of the first 50. So
I can understand that.
Yeah, so she's at about 20%. You had 1 out of 25. I had 0 out of 25.
Yeah, I think I've heard of maybe 4 of these. Beef, Beef. People talked about beef.
Yeah, beef.
People
yeah.
talked about, well, obviously Wednesday. And people talked, I know Outer Banks from...
Yeah,
from,
I was going to say Outer Banks.
That's been around a while. Manifest, yeah. I know some people that are into that.
That was the airplane one that was on regular NBC or something, right?
Yeah, and NBC.
I think it was NBC.
And I actually started on that one originally, you know, way back. And it got so just like, okay, I'm done.
Whatever. Okay, I'm gonna give you credit for Manifest because I did give my credit to Shadow and Bone, which my wife started watching. That season, she watched halfway through. So I gave her credit for that. So I'll give you credit for that. So we'll still go 2 out of 25. I am absolutely amazed that I have not watched... This list is huge. And I have not watched... you have to get down to number... Let's see here. 58 minus 7. 51 before you get to Glass Island, A Knives Out Mystery, which is what I watched. I honestly feel like when we present this podcast that we are presenting views that are common to the common man, John. And none of it. Like, I have watched none of it. And that, again, this is global, and this is global reach. Some of the shows...
That's the key.
Yeah, agreed. But I'm just like, my gosh, man. I thought I had, like... If you would have told me out of the top 25 Netflix shows from January to June that you've watched, I would have said... 4 or 5.
Sure.
Yeah. Way off. And I'm starting
I'm surprised. Go ahead.
No, you go ahead.
I'm surprised you have not watched Extraction 2.
I have not watched Extraction 1, and I know you're very high on it. I just haven't watched it. It's in the queue. It's on my TV time.
Extraction,
queue.
You have got to watch it. It is a like a real-life video game. It is like Call of Duty on the screen with you know, live action. There's a certain sequence, an escape sequence, that is just mind-blowing.
Yeah,
I heard people talk about it. It is so well done.
I heard people talk about that from a cinematography point of view.
Yes.
Just being like,
what they did is, I had to show it to my wife. I'm like, this looks like a video game. But I mean that in the highest compliment. This is what it's like to play like certain Call of Duty scenes and sequences where I don't want to go into it, but it's just, it really is very impressive.
I am still just kind of dumbfounded that I shouldn't be dumbfounded because I think most
no,
of
you shouldn't.
I think most of what Netflix, you know, caters to is, I don't want to say, well, is it fair to say based off those names that I just read off that you think that Netflix caters to women 15 to, I'm just going to guess 40. I don't know. Do you think it's more women focused?
They definitely cater to the youths.
Yeah, definitely cater to the youths. I agree with that.
Unmistakable.
I agree with that.
And would seem to be more of the female persuasion and an international market.
Yeah, agree with that. And I don't know the international markets. One of the things that stuck out with me is you get Manifest, which I didn't know. I just hadn't watched.
That is surprising. That is very surprising. It's that high.
Shadow and Bone, which I'd heard of, which I know of the books. And then the last was Outer Banks. Sorry, the blank there. The Outer Banks. That's got, I think, a little bit of a mystery, sci-fi mystery to it. But that's the only three that I recognize as maybe
Outer
being...
Banks. I thought that was Dawson's Creek. You know, updated for the modern teenage audience.
Oh, okay. I thought there was some kind of mystery surrounding
not,
the island.
If
there,
no, I think it's all teenage drama and
okay.
No,
so let's
I don't
say,
think it's any sci-fi.
Let's say, hey, email us your opinions on Outer Banks because I know you will.
Tell us why you love Outer Banks.
take Outer Banks off the list.
Keep Outer Banks out of your mouth.
Two shows out of the top 25 that sounded at least sci-fi. Like, is sci-fi losing? I would love to see this list for Amazon because Amazon feels like Prime feels like it's so sci-fi fantasy focused, and that may be a Bezos thing, and that's where he wants to spend the money and all that kind of stuff. I feel like it's so sci-fi
focused. That's
confirmation
bias. That's so confirmation.
Whoa.
Bias.
Okay. All right. Let's talk about this.
That's what you watch, so therefore that rules the universe. Well, you know what, big boy, you're not everybody. You know.
Okay. Let's go. I wish I could pull up the top 10. Right now on Amazon Prime. Give me 1 second. I'm going to see if I can do that real quick. 1 second. Okay. That's the magic word. That's the magic sign that I did something magical while you were just listening 1 second ago and now listening. I've got an Amazon Prime top 10 in the United States on December 12th. Let's be fair. This is a website called Flix Patrol. I don't know how good they are at keeping score with this kind of stuff.
Flicks Patrol? How dare you?
Sorry. I'm just imagining some little puppy with like a movie thing around his neck or something. Yeah. I'm the Flicks Patrol. Okay. So this is Amazon Prime's top 10 in the United States on December 12, 2023. So this is December 12th of right now. So we're comparing apples to oranges dates. And then also we're comparing, this is United States only versus a worldwide thing that we just kind of talked about with the Netflix thing. I'm going to give the top 10 movies and I'm going to give the top 10 shows. And I want you to tell me what you have and have not watched, John. You ready?
Okay,
now,
yeah.
All right. Now, the top 10 shows, you can watch any episode because they don't give seasons on this either. So I'm just looking for a rough estimate just to compare. All right. Okay. Top 10 movies. Candy Cane Lane.
No.
Merry Little
Pat. Wait. We're starting with Candy Cane Lane.
This is the top 10.
That thing. This is not for the year, obviously. This is just for
John,
a certain date.
John.
What?
I just said it. Amazon Prime top 10 in the United States on December 12th, 2023.
Oh, this is so biased. Okay, fine.
Can't get Lane. It is biased. I'm just trying to get it's a rough estimate here. Just trying to get a back of the napkin calculation of what percentage of stuff you see on Amazon.
I have not and never will watch Candy Cane Lane.
Merry Little Batman.
No.
A Good Person. I don't even know what that is.
I don't know what that is.
Violent Night.
I know what that is, and I haven't watched it.
Christmas with the Cranks.
No, God, that's awful.
Everything, Everywhere, All at Once.
I have watched that. Yes, thank you. Awesome.
All right, Last Christmas.
That's like a rom-com based on the song? No.
I have no clue. Silver and the Book of Dreams. I have no clue what these are. Silver and the Book of Dreams.
I can't even imagine what that is.
All right, Confession.
No idea what that is.
Bye Bye Barry. Not Barry from HBO. Bye Bye Barry.
Body. No, I don't know what that is.
Okay, so you got one of the top 10 movies, and I'm going to go over the top 10 shows now. All right.
Well, 1.5. I know Violent Night.
Okay.
At least I know what that is.
Okay, 1.5. Top 10 shows on December 12th. Top 10 United States by Paw Patrol. Oh, sorry, by Flix Patrol. All right, you ready? Invincible.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Okay. Reacher.
Give me a half on that one. I know what it is. I haven't watched it yet.
Okay. Gen V.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. The Boys.
Oh, yeah.
Halo.
Yep.
Wheel of Time.
Yep.
Upload.
Yep.
The Summer I Turned Pretty.
No.
Tom Clancy's...
One of these things is not like the other.
Tom Clancy's Jack Ryan.
Absolutely.
007 Road to a Million.
Oh, I know what that is, but I haven't watched it.
I watched one episode of that. Me and the wife watched it a couple of nights ago. It's not bad. It's filmed very oddly for a game show, but it's not that bad. So I'm just saying, you've watched a lot more of the top ones. Now, again, complete apples to oranges here. We're talking about a specific date. We're talking about top 10 as of that date in the United States only. I get it. But I'm just saying, I still think that if you would have said, I'm going to extrapolate what I just said on the Amazon top 10, which you got probably out of the 20, you probably, let's toss the ones out that you've heard of, watched 12 of them or 11 of them maybe. I know you loved Everything Everywhere All at Once, and you watched most of the shows. So let's say 11. So that's over half. Now you compare that to you compare that to Netflix, where you watched, 2%? Yeah, 2%? Yeah. I don't know. I just found it wild. Maybe it's the Netflix breadth of maybe like, you know, conquering all the different countries around the world, different languages around the world, different types of shows that those people watch. Maybe Amazon's more English speaking focus. I don't know. I found it very odd, and I was just like, I have not watched any of these guys. And that's right when I saw the list, I was like, I'm totally asking John about this tonight to see what he's watched. I suspected you might have had two or three more than I did, but you didn't.
Really not my kind of show.
Yeah, I don't know. It was wild. I just wanted to ask you that. That was my kind of game for tonight, just to kind of compare and make sure that I was not seeing something. Do you think that I don't know how to describe this. Do you think that Amazon may be more U.S. focused? I know, again, we're just looking at a list from the United States, so it doesn't. I don't know what the global.
Oddly, the list listing the United States was focused on the United States.
Yes, but I'm just saying. I feel like the shows that come out on Amazon are much more sci-fi or fantasy related than shows that come out on Netflix.
I I still think that's it's not confirmation bias, selection bias. I think it's more of a selection bias.
Hold on a second. I'm going to look at something real quick. Give me one second. I'm going back to that list for Netflix. I'm looking at the, I'm going down the top 25, mm-hmm. and I was thinking, oh, are they only including stuff that came out in 2023? But they're not. There's 2022, 2021. Yeah, there's stuff that's from previous years. I am kind of amazed, though, because where do you get to a Stranger Things at? Because that's got to be, like, still, even if it, if it's not on, right? Oh, it's down at 64. Okay, I see it. All right. Yeah, Stranger Things rocks in at 60 on that Netflix list, which is amazing to me because I always thought that that show kind of carried Netflix.
Exactly. And this list is, because I've pulled it up in the, and since we started talking about it, this list really does tell you the answer. When you ask, why did they cancel that show? It was so awesome.
Yes,
here's
agreed.
Your answer. Totally agree. No one was watching it but you.
One of the amazing things to me, too, is that if you take the top 10, that Night Agent, season one, whatever this show is just blowing up. It's got 812 million hours viewed. Okay?
Bunch of bots. And then, bunch of bots.
And then number two, this Ginny in Georgia, which I still have no clue what it is. Is it 666?
I have no idea what any of those are.
Is it 665? It's almost three-fourths of what the Night Agent, like, are people going to sleep watching the Night Agent? And that's what's getting it all these hours?
I mean, well, the fact that Wednesday is, what is that, number four? Wednesday is number four with over 500 million. That is surprising to me. The whole thing is surprising. That is very surprising.
Yeah, I feel so old while reading this list. I mean, you can go down to number 10, and it's one-fourth of the hours viewed of number one. That's a huge mm-hmm. disparity.
Yeah.
And then if you scroll the rest of the way down, it's not that much disparity between the rest of the shows. I mean, they're all clocking in.
Yeah, it levels off.
It totally levels off.
How far does this go? How many are there?
It lists everything. It's all the data, I think.
Everything?
I don't know about everything, but...
Are you serious? Like, oh my God, look at that.
Yeah. Wow. It's they got very transparent, and I don't know why they got transparent, but
what's the last show? What's the lowest?
Ew, okay, let's look at the last show. That's a good call.
I can't read that, or that, or that, or that, or that. I can't read any of these.
Are they in a different language, I'm assuming?
Yeah.
Yeah, hold on.
Yeah, we have Korean, right. Korean. I don't know what that is. That's Farsi?
Oh,
that's Hindi?
Gosh, this goes on forever. Okay, find the show closest to the bottom that you've watched.
That would take a while.
It actually
I mean, honestly, because they bottom out at 100,000 hours and then just go, okay, World Trade Center. That's what I've watched.
Is that like a documentary?
Do you not know that movie? Well, now we're going to talk about that.
No, I don't know that movie. I don't remember.
World Trade
movie.
Center is a, I just rewatched it recently. It's a, I want to say late 2000s, so maybe 2007 or so, maybe 5 or 6 years after 9/11.
I'm pulling it up
right
now.
Is the story of two first responders who were pulled from the rubble. Of the 20 people pulled from the rubble, they were like number 18 and 19. Nicolas Cage.
Yes, yep, I remember this movie.
Michael Peña?
Michael Peña. I did not watch it, but I do remember this movie. Yeah, it was Michael Peña.
That movie.
Maggie Gyllenhaal too. And Maria Bello. Yeah, there's lots of people in this movie.
Very good movie. Very good movie. And certainly I remember watching it in the theater because it was just a couple of years after 9/11. Yeah. Really good. Really good stuff. Really takes you back.
All right, so speaking of movies we've been watching lately, you start one and I'll start one too. You go first. What have you been watching lately?
Well, you mentioned it just recently, so we have to talk about it now.
We just
Wheel
talked
of Time,
about
season two.
I was going to say, we just talked about World Trade Center, John.
No. Wheel of Time season two. Now, I was not that impressed with Wheel of Time season one. You were.
Okay. Oh,
I
caveat.
Was go ahead. Impressed. I was impressed with Wheel of Time season two and really got into it.
100
really good stuff.
100%. And we started to talk about Wheel of Time series season two last podcast, and I cut it off because you need to still watch some of it. I am in 100% agreement. I liked season one. I did like it. It wasn't bad to me.
It was all right.
Season two is amazing compared to season one because you don't worry about introducing characters.
Yes.
That's all it is.
Just hit the ground running, go.
Yeah, you are expected when you watch episode one to know who these people are. You may get a hint or two if you haven't watched season one, but you're lost. I mean, you're, and I love that. I absolutely love that. And I understand people are like, no, you need to be able to like let people in at season two who want to watch some of it. Man, season two just moved. It was like clockwork.
Is that still the case? When you can go back and watch season one at your own pace, why do you need to bring people up to speed on season two? For season two.
Here's my...
Outside of a short recap, you know.
Short recap.
I'm talking about, you don't need to baby step them. You don't need to hold their hand. If they really want to get into the show, you can go start at season one. It's right there.
Well, not just that. And I'm guilty of this sometimes, too, just because I'm getting old in my memory. Sometimes there are so many summary videos out there on YouTube. You don't need to go watch season one. If you honestly do, if you can go find a video that's probably 30 minutes on YouTube that will explain to you every single character, everything that happened in season one, and you will be just as caught up as if you watched season one. I'm not saying that's a great thing, but I am saying I'd rather you go watch the actual show personally. But that being said, though, you have the tools available to you to not have to do that. You know what I mean? Like if you dive into a show on season two and you're like, what is going on? It's very easy to go catch up on season one or the previous season.
Well, so we're basically saying the same thing. I remember there was a show, a network show, probably sci-fi. I do not remember the show, but it started to suffer because in seasons, you know, three and four, if you weren't already into the show, you had no idea what was going on. With broadcast television, that's a problem. You do need to hold their hand.
Fair.
You do not need to do that with streaming. Go watch. If you want to watch this show, you're curious about whatever, Wheel of Time season four, well, season one's right there. Go watch it.
So you're saying
right? If you want to pick it up in season four, that's your problem.
You are guaranteed to have access to previous seasons is what you're saying. And that is an advantage for streaming services.
More or less. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Fair. That's fair. I agree
but
with that.
If you weren't like me, I didn't get into Lost as it was airing, so I didn't record it or anything like that. And if I had tried to start watching it later, no, I would have bailed out because I don't know what this is talking about. I don't know what's the hatch. What are you doing? Screw this. But now you can just go start at ground zero, square one, and you're good. So that's very old school thinking. That outside of a brief recap.
So one of the things I really liked about Wheel of Time season two was that it really kind of like they're trying. It's not completely there, but they're trying to stay in parity with the books. So season one was the first book, Eye of the World. Season two is the second book. Like, what did you think of the characters and like what are you enjoying about the show? Like, is it because to me it's remembering the books and being like, oh yeah, I get to see this live. But like for somebody that hadn't read them, like what parts of the show are like what characters are really really interesting to you? Because there's a menagerie of characters in the show.
Yeah, that you're starting to tax my brain. I can tell you that speaking of not handholding, I was a good 3-4 episodes into the season two before I realized that the character that I'm looking at that I actually kind of like was the character that I did not like in season one, recast.
Yes, he did. He did get recast. And that recast was weird.
The character's kind of familiar, but he looks totally different. It's a different person.
Yeah,
Matthew. Oh, they recast him. Oh, okay, now I know who he is.
Yeah,
now I know what the character is.
Yeah, the character's name's Matt, and he was, and it amazed me because it took me probably an episode to figure out that wasn't the same actor, and I only say that because they look fairly similar, and I was sitting there like I was like Matthew Cawthorn, I was like yeah, that looks like that's him, that's the same, and then like finally it dawned on me, I was like that is a different person, like that is an actual different actor, which to me, I don't remember other than Game of Thrones season one and two. With one of the main characters, this Daenerys' compatriot, and I forget the guy's name. Sorry, I forget the character's name. They recast that guy, but other than that, I can't think of a major show which there is
well,
so much.
We
money.
Had this discussion. We had this discussion just maybe last podcast or podcast before
about the recast,
talking about successful recast. Yeah, when it was jarring, when it was seamless, and that kind of thing.
That one counts as seamless for me. And that's maybe
jarring to me, but once I knew, I didn't know who the character was. Once I knew who the character was, yeah, I don't care who's playing him. He did a great job. I don't care.
Yeah, he did. He did do a good job. Do you like the storyline so far? Like, are you liking the Aes Sedai and whatever you want to call them?
I was bought in. The tension, those people that are running around that faraway village with the evil people, whoever they are, hiding. You know, they're running around, scurrying around, hiding. The person who was in the dungeon being tortured. That I hated her so much. The torturer.
Yeah.
Oh, that was really satisfying when she got hers.
Yeah.
Yes. The additional sort of fleshing out of the I don't know names. The main character. What's her name? The big name. Rosalind.
Oh yeah, Rosalind? Marie Sedai. She's been in tons of stuff.
Rosalind Pike.
Yeah, Rosamund Pike. Rosamund Thank Pike. You. Yeah, Rosamund Pike. Yes. Yeah, she's really good. Really, she's really good in her role. Really good in her role.
Yes, she's good in her role. That's right. And it's a fairly complicated role because I did not really like her in season one. Didn't really like her in season two, but gained some sympathy towards the end.
Also, I think that the guy that plays Rand is very good too. Like, he's very, he's very good at playing. Let's be honest. This is like the, it's the Star Wars. Star Wars. You know,
you're the chosen one.
Yeah. Yeah, farmer becomes chosen one, and then you know that kind of thing. Joseph Campbell's Hero of a Thousand Faces. I get it. And I'm fine with that. And I enjoyed it when I was younger. I loved it. But I think he's actually pretty good at conveying, hey, I'm a little bit different. I see a little bit different than all the other people around me in this village. But I'm going to go with it because I enjoy working here. I love the people here. And then you see his character, you know, try to become, the Dragon Reborn. I mean, you know, it's good. I mean, it's as good as Luke did in Star Wars. I mean, it's believable. Maybe that's the way I say it, the best way to say it. That story just seems so unbelievable unless you really have the time to work it out and get the details right. And I think the actor did a really good job in that one. I enjoyed. Like, let me ask you a question: how much? Which do you like better? Do you like that or the what's the Lord of the Rings series from Amazon? Rings of Power. Yeah, which one do you like more?
If you'd ask me, Wheel of Time season one versus Rings of Power, season two.
Yeah, it's very interesting.
But
to
that's
me
not a fair comparison. That's not a fair comparison.
Why is that not a fair comparison? It's two fantasy series.
Because as you said, season one, you're setting all your pieces in place. You know, this is a plan.
Oh, okay, okay, fair enough. Okay, fair enough. I'll ask you again about it. Okay, fair enough.
Are we going to get another billion-dollar season of Rings of Power?
I thought they had signed on for three already. Did they not?
Oh, my goodness. Okay.
Maybe that could totally be wrong, but I thought that
they had already... Speaking of Wheel of Time, okay. I was surprised where the story went, that it went as far as it did, because I expected sort of a... I'm trying to think. Sort of a setup, not an Empire Strikes Back kind of scenario, but a setup where they're about to assault the dungeon or whatever and try to break these people out, but not get there. Not quite get there this season.
Huh, interesting.
And the fact that they went all the way through, and yes, he's the Dragon Reborn, and yes, they win, and everything's fantastic. I didn't expect that, and I'm torn on that.
I think
it's great. It was good.
Yeah,
yay, they won. Bad things have to happen next.
They will. But I'm just saying, like, I think that the books do a very good job of closing each book off, maybe better than some of the other series, you know, you've probably read. And they did that to the show, and I like that. I actually really enjoy that because it's showing you that, like, there's closure at the end of each book season, and it's not like it's going to be like this Game of Thrones-esque cliffhanger until next season. Like, you have to wait a year. You know what I mean? And Lost did that too. I mean, you know, one of my favorite shows did that too, where you're just like, I got to wait like a whole year until they film this thing. And that may be something that came from COVID or something like that, where they're just like, we can't do this again because we don't know what's going to happen. You know what I mean? Like, we need to at least wrap a season up serially as a season. I don't know. I enjoy that personally, and I enjoy the fact that there is a little bit of closure at the end of it.
There is, and I got bad news for you. Surely this has been impacted by the strike.
Oh, 100%. Yeah, all these shows have.
Yeah, so season three coming out in 2025.
Do you think, I agree with you, from the actor point of view and all that kind of stuff. I bet the story, though, I wonder if they got ahead of a couple of seasons in the story, just because this is going to sound terrible, I'm not saying it's easy to write a story based on a book that's already been done, but they're sticking pretty close to the books. They really are. Like, it's a very book-centric story, which is what I like, personally. But, yeah, I don't know. It's interesting. Yeah, it's... I'm interested to know if I'm right about the Rings of Power for seasons beyond up to three. I don't know. I need to check that out.
My understanding was that they are committed to it. And my understanding is that most people hated it, which I didn't understand. I think we talked about that on the podcast, but it's fine. It's entertainment.
It's entertainment, but man, it is expensive entertainment. I mean, that's got to raise
everything. What do I care about that?
Because it's going to raise your monthly Prime fee $2 per year because it's so expensive.
Yeah, okay, there's that. I am a stockholder. Full disclosure. I don't know your stock.
Full disclosure. I heard everything. Okay, I had a couple of things that I wanted to talk about, Mike, because I go up next. Number one. And I don't think we talked about this on the last podcast. Correct me if I'm wrong, but I think that my wife started watching The Bear. Have you watched The Bear?
You finally started watching The Bear.
I finally started watching The Bear. Yeah. Okay, so I started watching listen to me. I'm actually getting Chicagoan or like I'm actually like feeling it. Like I'm like, yeah, I started watching The Bear. Okay. So I'm only like three episodes in, and this is the first show that I have to have a mindset to watch. And I know that sounds super weird, but if it's the end of the day and I'm tired, I don't want to watch this show where people are literally yelling at each other. And I get it. It's the show. It's a beautiful show. It's a beautiful show.
It's a beautiful, beautiful show.
It really is. It is pure art. I completely understand why people love it. I completely get it. But it's
No, you don't. No, you don't. No, you don't, because you haven't seen it yet.
Okay, fair enough.
You will.
But I'm just saying, it's such a, like assault on my senses that, like, I have to be in a certain mood to want to watch it. And this is one of the first shows that's ever done that for me. Like, I'm literally, I have looked at my wife and said, do you want to watch The Bear tonight? And she just kind of looks at me and I'm like, yeah, I'm just not up for it either. it's too much right now. It's like sensory overload. And it is.
I can relate to that. We talked briefly, I think, about this, that there are certain shows. For me, it was Breaking Bad. It was not a fun watch. It was
agree with that.
A chore. Yeah. And eventually I appreciated it as a show, as an achievement, but it was not fun.
Well,
and there, I would take long breaks. I just don't want that right now.
So I didn't watch all the way through Breaking Bad. The stuff I saw, I understood. But it's just like, there's not a negative energy around the show.
Right. It's different. Yeah. What you're talking about is not what I'm talking about, something slightly different, but it's kind of a chore. Kind of.
I hate calling it a chore because I want to do it. I want to watch it. But it's more along the lines of like my brain can't handle 30 minutes of people yelling at each other. And I understand how good of a story and product and show and actors and script, everything it is. I really get it. It's just that it's like 10:30 at night, man, and I just can't take that. My heart rate's gonna skyrocket, and I'm gonna be up to 2 a.m.
You're too invested in the show.
The characters are good. The writing's good. Everything's good. It's great. Yeah. So I wanted to bring The Bear up. And my last one that I want to bring up, or actually, it's your turn. You pick one. What have you been watching? What else?
So, because we're going to come up against it here, let me just talk about. There's one I want to talk about, but I'm not going to mention it now because it's going to be the next podcast.
Okay.
What I do want to talk about is I recently watched, for the first time, the Star Trek The Motion Picture with the updated special effects.
Oh.
Have you seen that?
I watched the... when did this come out?
The motion picture came out in 1979.
No, I know that. I'm saying, when did the updated special effects get applied?
Oh, like 15 years ago.
Oh, I have watched it. Yes, I have watched it then.
So where they show you, the big change to me was you can flying actually up on see V'ger's ship. You can see the whole the ship itself. Yep. It's not just big stupid gas cloud.
Yes, agreed. Yes.
Yeah, that among many, many, many other changes, is such a better film. Things make sense now.
So I watched the original one back when I was probably, and I know we don't want to get into this, but probably when I was like really early, like 7 or 8, and I don't really remember that much about it. And then I watched the updated version during COVID. I watched all of them. I went through all of them. So whenever I went back through all of them in COVID, I definitely felt like it had been updated, but I just kind of like felt like it was like a Star Wars thing where it was like they just updated the special effects. Like Lucas went back and was like, I want this to be this and this to be this. And I figured
it was the effects and they tweaked some dialogue.
And I'm assuming too that that effect of when they're pulling up to the ship the very first time, that got updated because it looked a little bit better in my memory. And again, this is 30 years past, but I felt like it looked a little bit better than I remember it looking whenever they're playing. It's like that like 3 minute montage where they're flying up to the Enterprise. You know what I'm talking about for the first time?
Yes, I do. Cause it's one of the best scenes in Star Trek. The introduction of the Enterprise refitted. Yes. Amazing.
Agreed. It's a little too long.
I don't think that was changed. I don't think that was changed at all.
Okay. It's a little too long still. I still think it's a little too long.
No. You got to remember the context. We had just come from the 1960s TV show with the big, you know, the stupid model with the glowy little
Yeah, the wires hanging down. Yeah.
Okay. To this silver screen, big screen debut of the refit modern Starship Enterprise.
I still contend
it deserved every moment of its time, of her time, on the silver screen.
Of her time.
This is her debut.
Okay.
This is her close-up.
Okay, we will save this conversation for next podcast because I want to do some research and see what was exactly updated. I swear that was updated, but I guess not. I trust that you know what's updated based on your pure love for that scene.
I think I could pick out shot by shot what was updated.
Oh, okay.
And I haven't seen this movie in 25, 30 years.
All right, we may have to make a little game of this. Years. We have to make a game of this one. All right, we'll save this for the next podcast. I want to talk about Monarch on the next podcast because I'm in love with it and I want to talk about it. Okay, so that about wraps it up for tonight. We'll talk about some of the things that we wanted to carry on the next podcast. So it looks like, based on the chronological order, we're going to jump back into season 2 of Clone Wars and watch Senate Murders, which is episode 15. And then now, this is kind of interesting too, we're jumping back to season 3, episode 12, Night Sisters, which it looks like there's 4 episodes of the Night Sister stuff, which is really good because with the Ahsoka tie-in and all that kind of stuff. I'm going to make a suggestion though, John.
Okay.
Instead of Forces of Destiny, for next episode, Star Wars Visions Season 2 came out. I have not watched any of them yet, and I'm assuming you haven't. Am I wrong?
Nope.
Okay. No. So for next podcast, we're going to do episode 15 of Season 2, Senate Murders of Clone Wars, and then we're going to do Season 3, Episode 12, Night Sisters of Clone Wars, and then we're going to do Visions Season 2, Episode 1.
Okay.
Just because I want a little anime. I want a little something different. The Forces of Destiny is wearing on me a little bit. And I think that since that whole season's out with Season 2 of Visions, we can probably watch those. That'll be probably pretty good. So with that, thank you, John, for joining me.
Thank you.
And with that, we will see you guys next on podcast number 44. Thanks.
This is the 11 Parsecs Podcast, episode 43. If you enjoyed this podcast, please take a moment to subscribe and leave us a good review. And be sure to check us out at 11parsecs.com and Discord. I'm Jonathan Smith with the human beauty shot, Eric Thompson. Thank you for joining us.